25. Valuable cargo arrives. Miss Hackendotty was the first to see the airship Erebos descend from the heavens. She was standing on a rocky plateau looking out over the cliffs when she spotted the dark oval in the sky. She marched down to the dock as the Erebos flew lower. A squadron of guild soldiers had been on guard there all morning, piquing her curiosity. She knew the airship had been on a mission in France, and, judging by the torn straps and the trailing smoke, it had returned at full speed. Its armor was frosted, a sign that they had been traveling dangerously high in the atmosphere, catching strong air currents. The outer balloon looked worn. Soldiers grabbed the landing ropes, and the ship descended gracefully until it was floating only a few feet from the sandy ground. The squadron lined either side of the airship, and the side gates opened. Stepping haughtily down the gangplank was Lyme, a triumphant light in his eyes, a buffalo coat wrapped around his thin frame. Behind him trudged Typhon. The monster still amazed her. She had watched as Dr. Hyde brought it back from the dead. She wondered if the doctor would do the same to her one day. She had hoped to see one of the Association's spies, Mr. Socrates or Modo, all trussed up and stumbling down the gangplank. So she was disappointed when instead a frightened woman, crossing herself, was led down by soldiers. She was short, haggard, and several years older than Miss Hackendotty, her hair protruding wildly from under a torn bonnet. She had the strong-shouldered build of a peasant, of someone who worked with the earth. And so plain. Lyme gave Miss Hackendotty a leering smile, then followed the soldiers and the woman to the entrance of the Crystal Palace. What had she just witnessed? Who could be so important? She stood watching until they had entered the palace gates. The woman matched no one in Miss Hackendotty's files. Only an hour later, sitting alone at a table in the mess tent, eating rabbit stew, did she put it together. She dropped her spoon with a clatter and immediately went to the doctor's cave. She found Dr. Hyde arranging his collection of needles.
"I would like to see her," she said gently.
He turned.
"Ingrid, you know that is not possible. She has just arrived. We need her to be in perfect condition for our tests. She must rest."
"Did the Guildmaster expressly forbid me visiting her?"
She waited as he paused to think that through. Perhaps because his brain was steeped in formulas and calculations, she found him easy to manipulate.
"I would never harm her," she promised.
She put her metal hand on his shoulder.
"I am only curious."
She did have some affection for him, or something resembling affection. He had, after all, constructed her metal hand. She would never want her weak skin and bone hand back again. The metal one was perfect. It struck fear in the hearts of her enemies, and it never wore down. He stroked her metal hand.
"Perhaps your hand needs adjusting. Though it did not rust with the altitude and humidity of your airship adventures."
He was trying to change the subject. He found a small lever in his pocket and used it to adjust her index finger.
"Ah," he said. "Better?"
"Yes, much. Could you one day replace my arms, my legs, my body?"
His eyes widened, magnified by his odd glasses.
"If required, I would turn you into a goddess."
"More of a goddess," she said with a hard laugh. "And we would rule the world together."
He laughed, too. She knew he was picturing them side by side. Perhaps he would have his own gleaming metal body.
"Please, Cornelius, let me see her."
I suppose there is no harm in it."
He paused.
"She will be extremely valuable to us."
He led Miss Hackendotty to a stone door, which he opened with a key from his pocket. The room was one of the many recent additions on the island. She followed him inside. He turned another key and an electric light buzzed to life. A perfectly clear quartz wall cut the chamber in half. On the other side was the woman, sitting on a stone slab, her expression terrified, gazing at the floor. She looked as though she had just awakened. Hackendotty stared at her. How tiresome and weak some humans were. but from this woman had come such a powerful child.
"She can hear me clearly?" she asked.
"Yes."
He gestured at sound holes drilled into the quartz.
"But please don't upset her. I need her to be as relaxed as possible for my tests. Fear and anger may alter the blood chemistry."
The woman looked up, and Miss Hackandotty was taken aback by her proud eyes, the way she fixed them on her and did not turn away. There was a bandage on her arm, but no bruises. A Bible sat on the table. Perhaps the guildmaster had given it to her. To what end, Miss Hackandotty couldn't guess.
"So you are the mother of Modo?"
Miss Hackandotty said in French. The woman shook her head.
"But indeed you are. Lyme is an unerring fox, and he sniffed you out. You are the mother of a most interesting creature."
"I have no children."
"You had one. Of that we are certain."
"No, I have none. I did not give birth to that abomination."
The term made Hackandotty smile.
"Yes, an abomination. You did give birth to one. And perhaps you will be the birth mother of even more."
"Please, Ingrid," Dr. Hyde said. "We are not to upset her."
"I am nearly done, my dear,"
Miss Hackandotty said, without moving her gaze from Modo's mother. She didn't know exactly why she wanted to see her writhe. Was it because Modo had bested her? Modo had battled Fur, her friend, and dragged him to his drowning death in the Thames. Modo had been in the submarine Ictinia when it stabbed her ship from below, sinking the unsinkable Griffin. And he had turned his horrific face upon her at the Egyptian temple in Queensland and forced her to flee. 3 times he had defeated her. Defeated the guild. Was she just here, then, to taunt Modo's mother? She shrugged. Or maybe there was something she could learn about such a powerful adversary. Was the guildmaster using the mother as bait, hoping to lure Modo here?
"I shall tear your son into pieces and feed him to my hound," Miss Hackandotty said.
The woman met her eyes, then picked up her Bible and began reading aloud.
"We must leave her,"
Dr. Hyde said.
"Please."
"I have seen enough. Words will not save you,"
she said over her shoulder, as they left, and Dr. Hyde pulled the door closed behind them.